I'm the Reverend Breanne Swan, and this is Sermons from the East End for Tuesday, April 2nd, 2024. Hello, and welcome to this week's Easter Sunday sermon. We have made it through Lent. Jesus is risen. And we hear the story of Mary going to the tomb, finding it empty, and recognizing Jesus, except not quite at first. Listen now to our friends from A Sanctified Art read John chapter 20. Verses 1 through 18.
Early in the morning of the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been taken away. She ran to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord from the tomb, and we do not know where they've put him." And Peter and the other disciple left to go to the tomb, and they were running together, but the other disciple ran faster than Peter and was the first to arrive. Bending down to take a look, he saw the linen cloths lying there, but he didn't go in. Following him, Simon Peter entered the tomb and saw the linen cloths lying there. And he also saw the face cloth that had been on Jesus' head. It wasn't with the other clothes, but was folded up in its own place. Then the other disciple, the one who arrived at the tomb first, also went inside. And he saw and believed. But they didn't yet understand the scripture that Jesus must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to the place where they were staying. But Mary stood outside near the tomb crying. And as she cried, she bent down to look into the tomb. And she saw two angels dressed in white, seated where the body of Jesus had been, one at the head and one at the foot. And the angels asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" She replied, "They have taken away my Lord, and I don't know where they've put him." And as soon as she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she didn't know it was Jesus. And Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who are you looking for?" And thinking that he was the gardener, Mary replied, "Sir, if you have carried him away, just tell me where you have put him, and I will go get him." And Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Don't hold on to me, for I haven't yet gone up to my Father. Go to my brothers and my sisters and my siblings and tell them, I am going up to the Father, to your Father, to my God and your God." And Mary Magdalene left, and she announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." She told them what he had said to her. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
When I was a teenager in the late 90s, I was working through the requirements to offer my confirmation to my congregation and the United Church of Canada. One of these requirements involved attending church services regularly. Tricky thing was, I was on exchange in Heidelberg, Germany. But my German wasn't yet good enough for me to understand really much of anything going on at church. However, Heidelberg is home to a large American airbase. So I started attending worship services with a group of soldiers and their families. And at this point in my life, church was just church. I didn't really distinguish too much between different denominations or different ways of understanding this profound story of love, loss, joy, and resurrection. So Easter Sunday comes along and the pastor stands up and reads this achingly beautiful story that we just heard of Mary finding the tomb empty, frantically trying to figure out what has happened. I love this story. Even as a teenager, when I was still kind of working through whether this whole church thing was really for me, the intimacy of this story moved me deeply. The aching and the longing, the shift from grief to wonderment. Unfortunately, this pastor closed his Bible, shook his head, and came down pretty hard on Mary. He came down on her for not understanding what was going on, for not recognizing the risen one within her midst, right in front of her face. She just wasn't paying attention, he said. And I remember thinking, my goodness, can we give the woman a break? Maybe just a small one? She's kind of had a lot going on. It's been a heavy week, you know? And I mean, if the dead don't stay dead, what can you count on, right? For some of us, it is easy to move into the hallelujahs, the trumpets and the flowers, the dancing and the joy. But for others of us, it is not so easy. It is easy to hope if you have something to hope for. It is easy to believe if you are presented every day with something to believe in, something good to believe in. It wasn't that Mary failed to pay attention. I wonder if the cost of believing that not all was lost was just too great, at least at first. I often half joke that I am a Good Friday Christian. I mean, I get Good Friday. I get it. I get it when I'm sitting in prisons and writing to those who are incarcerated, being constantly confronted with what it is to be scapegoated by society. I get it when I'm sitting and chatting with our out-of-the-cold guests, and after they tell me their life story, I wonder how it is they can stand to get out of bed in the morning. I get it when I turn on the radio and hear that more than 30,000 Palestinian lives have been lost since October 7th, the alarming increase of violence in Haiti and civil war in Sudan. I am confronted with Good Friday when I hear how terrified and utterly abandoned my Jewish friends feel. Or when I see the numbers of our Nourish food bank market going up and up and up. I feel Good Friday when I am lying awake at 3 a.m., staring at the ceiling and going through the playlist of every terrible thing I've ever done, or everything that's ever been done to me. Every wrong word I've ever said, and every violent phrase that I've absorbed. Despite the military pastor being so dismissive of Mary, and I later realized just women in general, it is important to note that the Passion begins with a woman anointing Jesus for burial, and it ends with women remaining to bear witness at the cross after all of the disciples flee in fear. Mary saw it. She saw what happens when love becomes too threatening. Mary was there. And so, quite frankly, I am entirely sympathetic if deep within her soul-shattering grief, Mary is not able to see her love standing in front of her. Because that is the way grief and despair work. The passion began with women. It ended with women. And then it was a woman who was first witness to the promise that death is never the last word. I may joke that I am a Good Friday Christian, but I need Easter. I need it. I need the resurrection. And honestly, like Mary, I want to cling to it, because while the cost of believing there is something more, something better, truer, and quite frankly, holier than the tragedies we are constantly confronted with is very, very high, the cost of not believing is even higher. Mary comes to the tomb, and it is empty. She runs to fetch the disciples, and they run, but they also leave once more. Let's give them a break as well. It's been a heavy week for them, too. Then Mary sees somebody else, perhaps the gardener. "Why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" "Please, they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where he is." But then Jesus calls her by name. "Mary." And in that moment, when Mary is seen, she sees Jesus too. She recognizes who is standing in front of her. She recognizes that not only is this not the end, but it is the beginning. The beginning of the next chapter of what it means to love. Love with everything we have. To love our neighbor as ourself. Not as much as ourself, but as ourself. Because we are all enmeshed within this complicated and aching world, and our salvation is inextricably tied to one another. I need Easter, because I do not have the strength to pull myself out of the despair on my own. I am not God. And honestly, what a relief that is. I am witness to violence inflicted upon God over and over again. But death is never, ever the final word. As British singer-songwriter Sydney Carter puts it, Jesus is the light that will never, ever die. The Lord of the dance. I need Easter because I need somebody to dance with. Despite the powerful forces that would have us believe that we are never enough, that we need to compete with one another in order to get ahead, or the sense that no matter what we do, it will never make any difference anyway. God calls us back by name and reminds us, shows us that there is always, always more. That there is a force, a God, moving in this world that is greater than any exploitive or oppressive regime, who weeps along with us, but who also shares in our joy when love returns. A God who calls us to continue moving and joining together in love, calling each other by name, so that others too begin to recognize that love rolls on, refuses not to roll on. And again, we are all brought back into life. And it is with that that I find the strength to sing my hallelujahs. I need Easter. And so I sing. Sometimes in piano, and sometimes forte. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen.
I danced in the morning when the world was begun, and I danced in the moon and the stars and the sun, and I came down from heaven and I danced on the earth. At Bethlehem I had my birth. Dance then, wherever you may be, I am the Lord of the dance, said he, and I'll lead you all wherever you may be. I will lead you all in the dance, said he. I danced for the scribe and the Pharisee, but they would not dance and they wouldn't follow me. I danced for the fisherman, James and John. They came with me and the dance went on. Dance then, wherever you may be, I am the Lord of the dance, said he, and I'll lead you all wherever you may be. I will lead you all in the dance, said he. I danced on the Sabbath and I cured the lame. The holy people said it was a shame. They whipped and they stripped and they hung me high. They left me there on a cross to die. Dance then, wherever you may be, I am the Lord of the dance, said he, and I'll lead you all wherever you may be. I will lead you all in the dance, said he. I danced on a Friday when the sky turned black. It is hard to dance with the devil on your back. They buried my body and they thought I'd gone. But I am the dance and I still go on. Dance then, wherever you may be, I am the Lord of the dance, said he, and I'll lead you all wherever you may be. I will lead you all in the dance, said he. They cut me down, but I leap up high. I am the life that will never, never die. And I'll live in you if you live in me. I am the Lord of the dance, said he. Dance then, wherever you may be. I am the Lord of the dance, said he. And I'll lead you all, wherever you may be. I will lead you all in the dance, said he. I'll lead you all in the dance.
East End United Regional Ministry is committed to supporting our neighbors throughout the East End of Toronto. We run a weekly food bank market out of our Glen Roads campus on Girard Street, as well as out of the cold from our Eastminster campus on Danforth Avenue. We actively support refugees and asylum seekers, and are public, intentional, and explicit of our affirmation and advocacy for two-spirited and LGBTQIA+ peoples. We gather for worship on-site and online Sunday mornings at our Eastminster campus and Thursday evenings at our Glen Roads campus. We are a community working to figure out how to embody the words of Cornel West, who said, "Justice is what love looks like in public." We don't always get it right, but we are committed to working for progress even as we acknowledge that we are a work in progress. If any of this sounds interesting, we would love to meet you. Feel free to send me, Reverend Brianne, an email, bswan, B-S-W-A-N, at eastendunited.ca. I would love to connect over coffee, either in person or online. Thank you for listening to this week's sermon. We will be taking a week off as East End United is preparing for a big ol' hymn sing next week. But the week after that, we will be returning with the story of the road to Emmaus. If you've been enjoying listening to our sermons in podcast format, please consider subscribing and leaving a review in your podcast player of choice. It really helps us out a lot. Until next time, take care of yourselves and each other. East End United Regional Ministry is an affirming community of faith within the United Church of Canada. You can learn more about our community, including our many outreach programs, by going to www.eastandunited.ca.